Tomorrow is once again both National Hunting and Fishing Day and National Public Lands Day. Both of those dates, both of those celebrations, are important to us. Us being Togiak National Wildlife Refuge, and the other 15 refuges across Alaska, its many national parks, and similar entities all across the United States. There is just simply nothing not to like about hunting, fishing, and public lands that, in a lot of cases, allow access to do those other two things, in addition to a whole host of other outdoor activities. A lot of studies suggest there's been a decline in many outdoor activities, particularly hunting, which I find troubling on both a personal and professional level. Certainly it's something that we, with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, would like to see reverse course. And the other part of tomorrow's celebration, highlighting public lands, for a lot of people in our country, the various forms of public lands represent the one real gateway they have to participation in outdoor activities. So that's certainly something to be happy about. Around many parts of Alaska, public lands in one form or another abound, so maybe we have an easier pathway to access. At any rate, tomorrow is once again a celebration of both, so let's spend a bit of time talking about National Hunting and Fishing Day and National Public Lands Day. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Visitor Services Manager for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I have mentioned on here before that in my capacity with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, I run across people who get really miffed about the service, the refuge system in particular, promoting hunting. Their mindset is that a refuge, quote unquote, is diametrically opposed to activities like hunting. I guess on the surface I get what they are saying, but it doesn't reflect reality. What they're thinking about is something that's may be better covered by a word like preserve, as in wildlife preserve. One of the biggest things we do within the refuge system is to have in place protections for the habitat, existing, as well as acquiring new acreage and also restoring damaged areas. In some cases, there are protections for animal species, but that doesn't mean an across-the-board no for activities like hunting and fishing. In fact, hunting is compatible to the point of, it's in writing. Refuges, where the needs and concerns of wildlife are met, are managed to allow for public use. And there are six particular uses that have been identified. Hunting, fishing, wildlife observation, photography, environmental education, and interpretation. These were set in writing to ensure that these uses receive enhanced consideration over general public uses in the refuge system. That's right, hunting and fishing on refuge lands is something we want happening. In Alaska, hunting and fishing both receive even more consideration, in a manner of speaking, because not only is hunting an identified use, but Alaskan refuges are also managed with an eye towards subsistence use. And the two biggest subsistence uses of our wildlife resources are exactly those two, hunting and fishing. In light of that, a day to celebrate fishing and hunting seems like a remarkably good idea, doesn't it? A lot of people across our nation make use of refuges. We just happen to live in a corner of the world where both are at the forefront of those uses for most of the year. Some examples of others who use refuges might include things such as mountain bikers, hikers, geocachers, rafters, ATV riders, snorkelers, birdwatchers, backpackers, berry pickers, mushroom pickers, wildlife photographers, and kids of all shapes, ages, and sizes. To some degree, we have some of those here as well. For example, I've seen people post on social media about using fat tire bikes to navigate refuge beaches. But the signature activities remain, indisputably, hunting critters and catching fish. For those that have a dim view of hunters, in particular, and not that it's likely much of an issue around here, the truth is that hunters have traditionally been and remain amongst the most fervent of conservationists. To wit, Theodore Roosevelt, the founder of the National Wildlife Refuge System, is memorialized for what he did for conservation, and outdoors men and women also remember that he was a dedicated, passionate hunter, and that may be understating it just a bit. In a civilized and cultivated country, Wild animals only continue to exist at all when preserved by sportsmen. The excellent people who protest against all hunting and consider sportsmen as enemies of wildlife are ignorant of the fact that in reality the genuine sportsman is by all odds the most important factor in keeping the larger and more valuable wild creatures from total extermination. That's a direct quote from our 26th president, and his words still ring just as true today. Historically, a lot of folks like to trace the beginnings of hunting and fishing and recognition of it and its place in our national consciousness all the way back to Mr. Roosevelt. That's understandable considering what he meant to conservation. But actually, the official beginnings for a day of recognition came quite a bit later. The current day we celebrate got started in Pennsylvania. The first to suggest an official day to thank sportsmen was a gun shop owner in that state, Mr. Ira Joff. In 1970, Pennsylvania Governor Raymond Schaefer adopted Joff's idea and created what was billed as Outdoor Sportsman's Day in the Keystone State. Less than a year later, Joint Resolution 117, authorizing National Hunting and Fishing Day, was introduced. On May 2, 1972, President Richard Nixon signed the first proclamation of National Hunting and Fishing Day. By late summer, all 50 states had joined in. Today, National Hunting and Fishing Day continues to be celebrated towards the end of September annually. The other reason for celebrating tomorrow is one that I probably don't talk about enough and probably should talk about more, and that's National Public Lands Day. The reason I should talk about it more is that Togiak Refuge is one of the biggest blocks of public land in all the nation, at almost 5 million acres. The reason I guess I don't, probably, is because a lot of what's tied to National Public Lands Day is getting people out actually on public lands and doing things to help clean or enhance those lands. And that's just not really a part of our reality here. Access can be difficult, and across large portions, there's really not a lot to clean or enhance. That's not true for a lot of public lands with easier access, though, where the heroic efforts of so many help to keep those lands clean and pristine, and in some cases, make them better through other means. COVID has kind of put the kibosh on a fair number of things that would normally happen in celebration of or recognition of National Public Lands Day. Like with many things, perhaps at some point in the not-too-far future, things will get back to normal. Public lands are many things to many people. For me, it has often taken the form of looking for animals from on high, binoculars in hand, and the sun setting or rising in front of me, hoping for a glimpse of a moose or caribou or bear. For others, it might be a hike on a wooded trail, a fish rising to the fly on a high alpine lake, a glimpse of wild creatures close to an urban setting, or just sitting on a bench and watching the colors of a setting sun dance on the waters of a river. Whatever the particular outlet, whatever you do on public lands, there is no denying the immeasurable value of the public lands we have access to. They are definitely something to celebrate. I have said and suggested on this program in the past that I sometimes think that we here in Alaska take for granted the hunting and fishing we're able to partake in, and the land we have access to, in order to participate in those activities. I still believe that. I think we're somewhat more insulated with where we are from issues pertaining to both hunting and land access. But, make no mistake, we are under some of the same pressures as others in the lower 48, and I also think those pressures will increase in the coming years, closer to home. So many of these things can have a domino effect, and we sometimes don't consider where we're at in that chain or even the fact that we're in a chain at all. At the risk of sounding like I'm concluding today's show by heading down some dark, gloomy rabbit hole, have you ever read either the Foundation Trilogy by Isaac Asimov or a short story called Skipping Stones by Orson Scott Card? Both authors are largely recognized as writers of science fiction, and for good reason. Card is perhaps better known for Ender's Game, which was a Harrison Ford movie a few years back. By the way, the sequels to that book are every bit as good. Both the Foundation Trilogy and also some of Card's stories skipping stones came immediately to mind, share a common theme of a large centralized world that serves as a seat for the existing government for all the worlds and systems around them. Tranter in the case of the Foundation books and Capital in the case of card stories. In both cases, both worlds had a history of having natural life until humans overtook absolutely everything, resulting in planets that had no other life and that were covered in metal skins miles thick, with populations in the hundreds of billions. Essentially, the world had become one big city. Well, that doesn't sound like such a great place to hunt or fish, does it? I'm not suggesting Earth is trudging that direction, but maybe thinking about something like that makes us appreciate what we have right now all the more, for those of us who like being outdoors. Well, my final thought for today. Normally we have an open house event to celebrate these two things. Not this year, at least not right now. Out of concern for the recent spike in COVID cases around our area and around the state. Hopefully that changes soon. When that changes, I'm still hoping for an open house event, and I'll be advertising it on here. Of that you can be assured. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.